All right, let's continue on now. Okay? Now you know why I said earlier, do not keep large sums of money in the bank. Because during our little intermission, Steve came up and told me that the financial guru that he has heard is also picking 2015 for the Cyprus action against banks in America. Livingston is his name. Okay. Now there are others. There are others. Okay. Now let's continue on right here. And we had verse 18, so let's pick it up there. Okay. Verse 18. And if you will not yet for all this hearken to me. See, all the way through, we're going to cover this. God gives opportunities for repentance. It's a call to repentance. And as Steve was telling me, that Alex Jones, I think it was, he says a lot of things that are true, but he doesn't call people to repentance. See? And we'll see, that's what God does over and over again. He says, if you won't, then I will punish you seven times more for your sin. So we've seen 2 7-year periods. Okay? And I will break the pride of your power. Would you say that's already accomplished? Financially and militarily? We have the greatest military in the world, but they do nothing. Okay? Let's go on. All right. Break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven like iron and your earth like brass. Have we had drought? Yeah, here in California, we're into third year. Other places, just like you said in other prophecies, we have floods, we have tornadoes, we have hurricanes. We have all of these things happening, don't we? We have many wars within the central part of our cities, people shooting each other, robbing and stealing. Okay. Verse 20. And your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield its increase, neither shall the trees of the field yield their fruits. And if, so let's put this for the next 7 years beyond 2015, I'll ring my cowbell. You walk contrary to me and will not hearken to me. I will bring seven times more plagues on you according to your sins. I will send wild beasts among you which shall bereave you. I will destroy your livestock and make you few, and your highways shall be deserted. I know the other day, I was driving up 101, and there weren't very many cars around. When there should have been a lot of cars, just not there. And verse 23, and if after these things you will not be reformed by me, but will still walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you and punish you seven times more for your sins. Is that another 7 years? Could be. And I will bring a sword on you that shall execute the vengeance of the covenant, and you shall be gathered inside your cities, and I will send the plague among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of your enemies. Okay? Now, we don't know how long we have to go in all of this. But I think we need to look at it from a very practical point of view. God is not going to speed things up to satisfy any preacher. He's not going to do that. everything's going to be right on schedule. The only thing that will slow the schedule down will be, as we will see, repentance. All right? Come down here to verse 27. If you will not for all this hearken to me, notice he gives chances for repentance, but will walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, the flesh of your daughters you shall eat. And I will destroy your high places, cut down your images, throw down your carcasses on the carcasses of your idols, and your soul, my soul shall despise you. I will make your cities waste and cause your sanctuaries to be desolate, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I myself will make the land desolate, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. Then they're scattered out among the nations. Now what does God say? Come here to Deuteronomy 4. What does God say we should do? Now it's going to happen. Just like when Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 B.C., and then again in 70 A.D., God gave plenty of warnings. Okay? All right. Deuteronomy 4. Let's pick it up here in verse 29. Because it shows what God will do if we change our minds. If there is repentance. See? God always gives these conditions to us. There are never any conditions on God. Why? Because he's perfect. Conditions are on us. How do we choose? What will we do? What will our attitudes and mind be? All right. Let's pick it up here in verse 27. Now, this is going to happen. Now, remember this. You can still be delivered out of your land into a concentration camp, even within the borders of the country. But your enemy will rule over you. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the nations where the Lord shall drive you. Question. Let's look at the Jews. It's very difficult for them to acknowledge these things. I remember reading a magazine years ago by a Jewish rabbi who was a messianic rabbi. And he wrote to the Jews and he said, "Brethren, remember half of God's word are curses. And look at all that we have suffered through the centuries. Look at the trail of where the Jews were scattered, where they are today. There are more Jews scattered around the world than live in the so-called state of Israel today." Okay? Did God do that? Yes, he did. How were they received in the nations? With open arms? No, no. Stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. I need to give a sermon on this as well. Look at all the warnings that the Jews had. From the church, from different areas, from 30 to 70 A.D. Warning after warning after warning after warning. Okay? Now then, think about the warnings that we have heard. What are we going to do? Now, think about this. When you look at what happened with the Jews, back to them for just a minute, 586 B.C., off into captivity, came back 70 years later. 70 A.D., because they reject Jesus Christ with hatred and just absolutely vile, despicable, wanton curses. Look at what has happened to them. See? Did God fulfill his word? Yes, he did. Verse 28. And there you will serve gods, the work rather of men's hands, and wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if, here it is again, and this is what needs to be, if you shall seek the Lord your God from there, you shall find him. If you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. Two ifs in the same verse, okay? When you are in trouble and when all these things have come upon you in the latter days, then you shall return to the Lord your God and be obedient to his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. Now, God's promise holds true. He says he will do that. Now, let's come here to the book of Amos. Book of Amos. Okay, you have Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, then Amos. Okay, let's come to Amos 5. Amos 5. Now what you can do is read Amos 4, which indicts all the sins that Israel had and what he was going to do with them. So let's pick it up here in chapter 5 and beginning in verse 4. Notice what God says. So this is a message to the nation. This is a message to all of the so-called Christian churches. This is a message to the churches of God, because we need to be in right standing with God. If there are any people in the world that need to be in right standing with God, that are zealous for him and obedient to him and love him and serve him, it ought to be all of us in the churches of God, correct? Yes, indeed. All right, verse 4. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me. Just like we read in Deuteronomy 4. If you will seek him, you will find him. Seek me and you shall live. But do not seek Bethel. Bethel was where the golden calf was. In Bethel and in Dan. Don't go back and say, all the Protestants get together and continue in your Sunday worship. Your repentance, if you're a Protestant, better start with keeping the Sabbath day. And forsake the notion that God has abolished his law. That is the most blasphemous thing that you could possibly say. Because you are judging God in your heart. Now, let's read on. So seek God, not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, nor pass. Do not pass to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. And did that happen? Yes. All right, verse 6. Seek the Lord. There it is, second time. And you shall live, lest he break out like a fire on the house of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh today. Okay? And devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. You who turn judgment into wormwood and leave off righteousness into earth. Seek him. That seek God. who created Pleiades and Orion, who turned the deep darkness into the morning, and him who darkened the day into night. Seek him who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Come down here now to verse 12. He says, I know your many transgressions and your many sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe and they turn aside the poor in the gate. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silent, for it is an evil time. Seek good, not evil. And that's good according to God's standard. Not according to how you feel. Not according to how you think. Not according to how you are outside. God wants it inside of the heart. Okay? Seek good, not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil, love the good. Establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, thus says the God of hosts, the Master says this, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. They shall call the tiller to mourning, and those who are skilled to mourning to wailing. And then he goes on talking about it here. Notice what he says about the day of the Lord. Well, we'll save that for trumpets. All right. Let's come to the book of Jeremiah now. Now, Jeremiah was a very lonely prophet. And he started as a young man, young lad, about 15 to 16 years old. He was the son of a priest, and he was from the city of Anathoth. And later, the men of Anathoth wanted to kill Jeremiah, his own city, for what he was saying against Jerusalem. Okay. Now let's see what God says here. Let's come to Jeremiah, the second chapter. Let's pick it up here in verse 11. Jeremiah 2 and verse 11. Has a nation changed their gods, who are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be amazed, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be utterly desolated, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. That's why he says, seek me. Come back to God. Now, I also know that within the churches of God, because of the sins of the leaders and the sins of the people and the hypocrisy and lies that went on within the church of God, to say nothing about the Protestants and the Catholics, you felt you could just walk away and give it all up. You might think again. You might really begin to ask yourself, how do I get right with God? Because what you have done, though you walked away from evil, you have made those evil men your idol in your mind and excuse for leaving God. You can't do that under any circumstances. And look at, we'll just go a little forward, what Jeremiah went through. God said, don't worry about what they say. I'll give you a mind of brass. And none of their words are going to hurt you. So many, many years into his prophesying against them, what did they do just before the city was captured by Nebuchadnezzar. Those who were against him got him, threw him in the sewer, in the muck, for him to die among the dung. I wonder what he thought when he was down there. But God rescued him. God sent a Cushite to get some rags to make a rope and pull him out. So sometimes things, though God promises to spare you, may not be necessarily pleasant. But at least you know you're right with God. Okay? All right. Verse 13, for my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. All right. That's what Protestantism, Catholicism is. And I wonder how many people in the Church of God fit into that way too. We don't know. God knows. All right, verse 19. Here's what God always does. See, because people, in failing to look to God, fail to understand the evil of their doings. Why? Because every way is right in the eyes of man. See? He's justified. I'm right. You could even ask a, very rare would there be a convicted murderer. I only heard of one who was given life, but he said, you better execute me, because if you let me out, I will do it again. See? But there are very few people who really, really understand the depravity of human nature. All right, verse 19. Your own evil shall correct. In the degree that we leave God, in that degree the correction comes. And your own backsliding shall reprove you. Therefore know and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that my fear is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. So that's what God says will happen. Think about what we are facing today. Now, I realize that as you go through and read the book of Jeremiah, it is tough to read, isn't it? And then if you follow that up by reading the book of Ezekiel, that's even tougher, isn't it? Yes. All right. Well, stop and think. All the things that we read of here have happened, and they are dual prophecies for us today. See? Now, we've always thought we live at the end of the age, and hooray, we're going to be alive when Jesus returns and enter into the kingdom of God. And how many times have we thought about that? Since, you know, you've been in the church. I'm now going on 55 years in the church. Okay? More than that. Getting close to 60 now. Okay? And I look out there and I see all the evil is coming in, but the return of Christ is still way down the road. A lot of things have to happen. A lot of things have to develop. Besides, God gives warning. He says, if. And then he waits to see what people will do. Okay? Now, let's come here to Jeremiah, the fifth chapter. Okay? Notice the mercy of God. Notice the mercy of God. Let's come here first back to back to chapter 4 and verse 16. Jeremiah 4, verse 16. Tell it to the nations, behold, proclaim against Jerusalem. Besiegers are going to come from a distant land, and they shall set their voice against the cities of Judah, like watchmen of a field. They are against her all around because she rebelled against me, says the Lord. Your way and your doings have brought these things upon you. This is your evil. How bitter it is. How it pierces into your heart. And even Jeremiah bringing these words, he says, my bowels, I writhe in pain, O walls of my heart. My heart is beating wildly within me. I cannot be silent because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the ram's horn and the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, and all the people said, it won't happen to us. For the whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are laid waste, my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the banner of war and hear the sound of the ram's horn? For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Amazing, isn't it? Come down here to chapter 5 now. In the midst of all of this, in the midst of all of this warning, I want you to understand the mercy of God. Verse 1, chapter 5. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know, and seek in her open places if you can find a man. Amen. Think about this. Can you find one in Washington, D.C.? Listen, how does the level of blame come? Okay? It comes first to those who claim to represent God and Christ. And all the problems come across the threshold of the pulpit because they did not preach the word of God. All right? The next level then are all of the governmental officials, the president, the Congress, the Supreme Court, all the governors, all the legislatures, all the state supreme courts. Then it comes down the line to the counties and to the cities. Okay? So let's look at it this way. Where would you go? And how could he turn it back? Notice, he didn't say, if you can find 10 or 12 men, he said, amen. Amen. Remember, what we are part of started with what? A man. Abraham, did it not? Yes. Okay. A man. If there is one who does justice, who seeks the truth, I will pardon her. I'll back off my hand and I won't do it. Remember the sermon that I gave, the difference that one man makes? Just before Jerusalem was invaded for the final time, King Zedekiah secretly sent off and said, bring me Jeremiah. Okay. So that was after he was pulled out of the dung hole. Okay. Jeremiah came in and he was talking with the king. And the king wanted to know what was going to happen. So Jeremiah told him. And Jeremiah told him this, that if you will surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, I will not destroy the city or the temple. But he refused. He thought he knew better. So he wanted to escape by night, and guess what? Nebuchadnezzar's army found him, what did they do? Killed his sons, no more descendants on the throne. That's why the daughters went to Ireland, to heal the breach. And then Nebuchadnezzar gouged out his eyes and sent him off into captivity into Babylon. What is the moral of the story? It's not a story, it's actual fact. You cannot go against the word of God at any time. See? Okay, one man. I'll pardon it. Okay? So come down here to verse 7. Now it comes down to the people. Okay? Look at what's happening in society. I couldn't believe it. A little sidebar. I was getting everything ready so I could have the sandwiches for today. And I looked in the refrigerator, with Dolores being out of town. I've got to do the shopping. Okay. And there was some turkey in there at the first of the week. But when I looked last night, not last night, but about 7:15, and sundown is way late here, about 8:25, 26. Oh, another little sidebar over here. Today is the longest day of the year. Okay. So I zoomed over to Safeway to get the turkey. So I got the mesquite smoked turkey. Had them slice it up. I got 2 pounds of it. And that store was full of people buying beer and wine and snacks, talking to each other, talking about what they're going to do tonight, what they're going to do tomorrow. You know, let's have a party. Let's get together. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. And the lines were long. Even with one little package of 2 pounds of sliced turkey. It took me 15 minutes to get through the line. And that was the express line. Should have seen the others. And I thought to myself, are we going crazy? Look at what happens on how they desecrate the Sabbath. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And I know Laura could tell us if we had a tour of the emergency rooms on Friday night, what comes in? Drug overdose, shootings, stabbings, accidents, all of those things. Friday night. Think what would happen if everyone kept the Sabbath. Whew. What a difference that would make. Comment by Laura, first-person witness, when she visited Israel. There, the Sabbath is enforced, and she said it was wonderful. See? Now, right here, we hear sirens out there. Okay? What's happening? Where are they going? Whose life is in trouble? See? All because they don't keep the Sabbath. All right? Now, think about all the partying, all the drugging, all the sexing, all the sporting, all of the entertainment, all of the music, all of the rock concerts, and sort of put yourself in orbit over the nation and just see how God looks down here on this nation as all of these things unfold as Friday night comes to them. God's holy day filled with absolute sin because they reject God. All right? Now let's pick it up here in verse 7. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me. And what's the greatest increase in atheism, agnosticism? Young people. And have sworn by them that are not gods. When I fed them to the full, and how many warnings do you have of this? put in your margin Deuteronomy 8. When you come into the land and you've eaten bread without scarceness, and you are full, and you live in goodly houses, and you have multitudes of cattle, and your gold and your silver is multiplied, do not forget me, because I'm the one who gave it to you. All right? Fed them to the full. Then they committed adultery and gathered themselves by troops in a harlot's house. They were like lusty, well-fed stallions in the morning, everyone neighing after his neighbor's wife. Today you can add, and all of the pedophiles there lusting after the young children. So God says, verse 9, "Shall I not punish for these things, said the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?" Okay? "Go upon her walls and destroy, but do not make a full end. Take away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very deceitfully against me." All right, come to chapter 7. You can read all the way through here. Chapter 6 talks about the covetousness. Are people covetous? Yes, indeed. Okay? If you want to see some very interesting things concerning covetousness, I was watching this the other day on American Greed. Here was this man who was living a lie, taking other people's money, and he squandered away about $60 million of investments, big Ponzi scheme, and he destroyed and ruined so many people's lives. When he finally was caught, when he was judged, when he was sentenced, the judge gave him 105 years. But how is that going to make up for what he did? See? But everyone's given to covetousness. Next time you go get your gas, look at all of the lotto things for sale. That's covetousness. You're taking other people's money. Okay? Now here it was. And this is what we do. Here we even do it today. Look at what it was at the temple of God. They always do it where God's name is. I mean, stop and think for just a minute. Where was Judas at the beginning of the Passover? He was right there. Satan possessed with the other 11 apostles and Jesus. Satan likes to get in and take over, doesn't he? Yes, indeed. Well, here it is. Same thing here. You would think if you had the temple of God, as beautiful as it was, all the priesthood, all the things that were there, and you knew you were the children of Israel, you knew that you were the descendants of Abraham, and you knew that you had all of these things because of God's blessings. So let's see what they did. And again, we will see a call to repentance. Verse 1, chapter 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, now I know I've gone over this many times, but what does God say about the prophets that are sent? He sent them what? Again and again and again. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways. Repent, and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. You are my people. I don't want to send you out to die. I don't want to send you out into captivity. I don't want your children to suffer. I don't want your wives raped. I don't want your men killed. But would you turn to me? I give you life. I've given you all of these things. Okay? And cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Remember, that's what they did. What was the temple condition at that point? Still had not recovered fully, although to a good degree, from all the sins of Manasseh. You want to understand 55 years of a nation with God just withdrawing himself from them? Boy, you read what happened with Manasseh. Every evil, all occultism, child sacrifice, idols in the temple yard of God. Okay? Verse 5, again he pleads, for if you thoroughly amend your ways, not lip service, not flattery, and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place. And what was the innocent blood that they shed? The offering of their children to Baal. Nor walk after other gods to your hurt. Then I will cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Now, you try this somewhere. Wonder how this would go standing at New York City in Times Square. How this would go over on the steps of the Capitol building. How this would go over in front of the White House. How this would go over at St. Peter's Basilica. Okay? Verse 8, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? You must watch that series, The Coming One World Religion, that we have on Church at Home. It will blow your mind, because I talked about those very things that are happening today. And you will see, oh, well-intended, good-hearted, oh, we're so liberal, let's get all the religions to get along with each other. So, even in, as I put in my latest letter, even at the Vatican, they are allowing Muslim chants and prayers. Hello? They're doing it in Protestant churches, too, because we're broad-minded. Yes. Okay. Swear falsely and burn incense to Baal and walk after other gods whom you do not know. And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. By grace, we do not sin. We can do these things. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Don't you even see it? Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. I says, I want to teach you a lesson. You go to Shiloh, where I first put the tabernacle there, and you see what happened to that because of the sins of the people and the sins of the priesthood. Scraped from the face of the earth. Then he talks about how he brought them out of Egypt. He talks about making cakes to the Queen of Heaven. You read the whole book of Jeremiah. When the remnant was still there in Jerusalem after the captivity and taken away, Jeremiah told the Jews that if you will quit making cakes to the Queen of Heaven, pouring out drink offerings to her, and incense to her, I will bless you in the land. Don't go to Egypt. What did they say to Jeremiah? You lie. You lie. So they went down to Egypt. I don't think the Egyptians knew what was coming. Because God says, if you go to Egypt, I am going to come down and I'm going to come after you and I am going to take Egypt down. Okay? Now, then after that, he said, let's pick it up here in verse 23. But this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice. Now, let's all do this if we can. Let's look at the words of Jesus Christ. Look at the teachings that we have in the New Testament and understand that these amount to the voice of God because every scripture is God-breathed. And I will be your God and you shall be my people and walk in all my ways that I have commanded you so that it may be well with you. That's what God wants. Even with all the sins that were going on. See? He said, I'll still do it. But you won't. You hardened your hearts. Okay? Pick it up down here in verse 27 after he said, they did worse than their fathers in Egypt. Verse 27. Thus shall you speak all these words to them, but they will not hearken to you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. But you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receives correction. Truth has perished and is cut off out of their mouth. Now let's see what they have done. Okay. Verse 30. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. Now, verse 31. They have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire. People so deluded and demented by their own ways and hardened in their hearts by their own sins that they would willingly bring their little children to Moloch, who had great arms, that the priest would bring back the child sacrifice and drop it into the roaring fire in his belly. That's what they did then. Okay? Which he said, which I did not command them, nor did it even come into my mind. Now, how do you suppose that God looks at, just here in America, I don't know what it's like in the UK or Europe, but I suppose if you add them all together, the descendants of Israel today, all 12 tribes have probably executed 100 million children in their mother's wombs since the advent of so-called legal abortion. How do you think God looks at that? So these things need to be spoken of. People need to be warned. We need to understand, as churches of God, we have a responsibility to feed the flock, to warn the people, and also to preach the gospel and warn them of the things that are coming. And surely they will come. And as I've said many, many times, I hope all the churches of God would come and obey God's voice, and that they, wherever they are, preach the gospel. not just one come together in one group, but let there be hundreds, let there be thousands of those who believe and love God out there preaching the warning so that it will go out. Now, we'll look a little more at some of the waves of God's judgment because they will be coming.